we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Africa's five World Cup-bound football teams are getting ready for friendly international matches on Friday to help them prepare for Russia 2018. Three of the teams, Egypt, Morocco, and Nigeria, have lined up friendly matches in Europe. The Pharaohs of Egypt will face Cristiano Ronaldo and European champion Portugal in Zurich, Switzerland. The Egyptian attack is led by Mohamed Salah, the 2017 African Footballer of the Year, who is coming off a devastating four-goal performance for Liverpool against Watford. The Atlas Lions of Morocco will meet Serbia in Turin, Italy. And the Super Eagles of Nigeria will play Poland in Wrocław, Poland. Nigeria's German manager, Gernot Rohr, has named a 28-man team that includes three English Premier League strikers: Chelsea man Victor Moses, Alex Iwobi of Arsenal, and Kelechi Iheanacho of Leicester City. Moses was Nigeria's top scorer during 2018 World Cup qualifying with three goals, while Iwobi and Iheanacho had two goals each. In addition, Coach Rohr included two players who are based in China: veteran captain John Obi Mikel and striker Odion Ighalo. Coach Rohr mentioned all five players in his pregame comments ahead of Friday's friendly against Poland. In the two other friendlies on Friday involving World Cup-bound African teams, Senegal will go against Uzbekistan in Casablanca, Morocco, and Tunisia will host Iran in the capital, Tunis. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I mentioned Mo Salah's four-goal outburst for Liverpool. With 36 goals in all competitions this season, Mighty Mo is now the leading goal scorer in Europe's top five leagues. Among those praising Salah for his performances is Ivorian football great Didier Drogba.
It is unpredictable. You know, he can dribble you with his left foot. He's fast. He became strong. And he scored goals. We can see now that he's scoring goals and he's becoming a boss, a leader of his team. And we saw it in the national team, and we saw it also in Liverpool in a few games. I believe he can bring a lot of leadership. His experience that he's learning in Liverpool, and also what he has learned with the national team, how they qualified.
Didier Drogba says he plans to retire as a player at the end of the season, after turning 40 years old on March 11th. The former Chelsea star and Ivory Coast international has been based recently in the western U.S. state of Arizona, where he's a player and part owner with the U.S. second division soccer club Phoenix Rising. In African boxing, Nigeria's Isaac Ekpo will challenge WBA super middleweight champion Tyron Zug on Saturday in Hamburg, Germany. This is a rematch, their first bout, almost a year ago to the day on March 25th, 2017, ended in controversial fashion and a loss for Ekpo. The German Zug was awarded a technical decision victory after five rounds after a cut ruled to be caused by a headbutt. But Ekpo says it wasn't a headbutt. He says he cut Zug with a left hook. Ekpo also says the German fighter called the ring doctor to stop the fight. The champion Zug has 21 wins, one draw, and 11 knockouts. Ekpo is from Nigeria's political capital, Abuja, and his professional record is 32 victories and 3 defeats with 25 knockouts. Ekpo adds that he fought Zug last year with what he describes as pains in his heart. He lost his wife during childbirth on March 9th, just 2 weeks before the fight. In more boxing news, Anthony Joshua is predicting he'll stop Joseph Parker inside 8 rounds in their World Heavyweight Title Unification fight March 31st in Cardiff, Wales. Joshua will be defending his WBA, IBF, and IBO heavyweight titles, while Parker will put his WBO championship belt on the line. In an interview with Sky Sports, Joshua said, and I quote, "Joseph Parker is dedicated. He's going to come 50% better than I've ever seen him before. But if I can transform what I've worked on in the gym for the last 10 to 11 weeks into the ring, then hopefully I can get him out of there between rounds 6 and 8. Meanwhile, former WBC heavyweight champion Frank Bruno has warned Joshua that Parker will be dangerous when they clash in Cardiff at the end of the month. Bruno also spoke with Sky Sports. He says AJ has got the size, the power, and the skill, but Parker is a guy who, in his words, is on you all the time. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with some news about Swiss tennis star Roger Federer is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Monday, Roger Federer touched down in Chicago for his first time ever to help count down the U.S. debut of the Laver Cup, happening in September. The world number one was joined by former tennis great John McEnroe, Australian star Nick Kyrgios, and Australian legend Rod Laver, who the tournament is named after. The four stars of tennis spoke in Chicago, and Federer talked about the importance of the Laver Cup and his desire to honor its namesake.
The idea of the Laver Cup was always to honor the legends of the game, starting with Rod Laver, who, you know, we admire so much, John, myself, and everybody looks up to Rod and everything that him and his generation has done for us. And I think it also brings away the tennis world together, all the different generations of players, you know, puts John and Bjorn back together for a week. We invite other legends to come follow tennis as well. And then, you know, you have the new generation coming up and the ones that have already been around for a while.
The Laver Cup was launched last year in Prague, Czech Republic. The matchups pit Team Europe against Team World. This year, Team Europe will be led by former world number one Bjorn Borg, and John McEnroe will lead Team World. McEnroe says the tournament has gone far beyond expectations.
Roger, he's got to be given a ton of credit because he was the one that really started this, that he wanted to do something for Rod, and it's gone to, I think, beyond even what everyone hoped could happen. You know, the idea of sort of a Ryder Cup, for lack of a better comparison, with golf, that's been extremely successful. And it's not often that you can see all the top players rallying around each other and providing the type of energy that we saw in Prague last year.
In last year's Laver Cup, Nick Kyrgios lost the final singles match to Roger Federer, making it a win for Team Europe. But Kyrgios says, despite that, he had the time of his life.
For me, it was probably the funnest week of my career so far. You know, better than the Grand Slams. I thought it was, you know, to be around my friends, obviously very good friends with all the guys on Team World. There was a bit of an age difference. You know, we had, you know, John Isner to Denis Shapovalov, which is one of the youngest guys coming mm-hmm. through. So, yeah, I mean, to look on the other side of the net when I was playing Roger and seeing, you know, Rafa in his ear, giving him tactics, I didn't really think it was fair at all. I mean, I'm trying to work it out with Johnny Mac, and we're seeing Rafa whispering to Roger's ear. So, no, it was amazing. It was unbelievably competitive, and I thought Roger set the tone early, you know, coming out, and we all knew it was business. We all wanted to win. And, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it again.
And Rod Laver hopes this year's tournament will be as big of a hit as it was in Prague.
The Laver Cup last year was such a success, and I thank Roger and all the players that competed It was just unbelievable, the energy on the court, and with 14,000 people cheering.
Laver Cup 2018 will be played in Chicago from September 21st to the 23rd. By the way, Roger Federer says some female tennis players have expressed their interest in the event. Maybe we'll see some matchups on the women's side next year when the Laver Cup returns to Europe. Still on U.S. soil, this final bit of tennis news. Indian Wells women's singles champion Naomi Osaka will face Serena Williams Wednesday night in the first round of the Miami Open tennis tournament. Now, this early matchup comes because neither player is seeded. And this is the first time a player who has just won her first tennis title is pitted against a 23-time Grand Slam champion in an opening round match. So stay tuned. There's lots more to come. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
There were some exciting National Basketball Association games Tuesday night, and joining us now to talk about a few of them is Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the VOA Swahili service. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Great to have you back here in the studio, Mwamoyo. One of those exciting games, I know you watched it on television. The Houston Rockets beat the host Portland Trailblazers 115-111 in Portland, Oregon, to snap Portland's 13-game winning streak. I think you got a shout-out or two for James Harden.
For James Harden, 42 points, 7 assists.
Unbelievable. He's had a great season. Do you think he should win the Most Valuable Player Award?
I think so. And last night's game was one of the games that he continues to claim this spot, because he played a well-rounded game, 42 points, the highest scorer in the game. And, you know, he's popping those three-pointers, 5 of them in last night's game.
And he also, what about his backcourt partner, Chris Paul? How did he perform?
Chris Paul, you know, they call him CP3 now because he has added the three-pointer in his weapons. So he had 22 points, so the second highest scorer in the game, with 5 three-pointers. We talked about him a few weeks ago, how he has become a different player since coming to Houston. He plays very well. The system fits him so well, and it looks like he's going to keep on playing for, you know, many more years, because just the system fits him so well. He doesn't have to run as much, and, you know, he still has the assists. So he's right where he should be.
Right now, we have only a couple more weeks left in the regular season, Mwamoyo, ahead of the NBA playoffs. Teams are kind of jostling for playoff position. Right now, do you think the Rockets are going to get that number one seed in the West?
It looks like they're going to get the number one seed because, they're playing amazing basketball. Last night, they faced a worthy opponent because Portland has been, as you said, they have been on a 13 winning streak. And they broke that last night. So, you know, Portland brought the lethal duo of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. You know,
two more great guards,
very good players. But Houston, they have their own Chris Paul and James Harden, and the way they are playing. You know, if you look at their total matchup and the way they have been winning, they have won 23 out of 24 games, because remember, they had a 17-game winning streak. And at the moment, I think there are four games ahead of Golden State Warriors. Now, we can talk about Golden State Warriors a little bit, because how many weeks are remaining for the playoffs? About 3-4 weeks. And the Golden State Warriors, they have been resting their players because they – not only arresting them, they are suffering some injuries. KD, Steph Curry, Draymond Green,
Klay Thompson,
all their big players have been on an injury list at some point. And remember, these guys have been playing a lot of basketball for the last three seasons, from October to June. you know, 9 months they're playing high caliber basketball. So their bodies are kind of getting, you know, worn out. So they're probably resting, and could be that Golden State Warriors, they're satisfied to get a number two seed for the Western Conference.
Another exciting game on Tuesday night, Memorial, on the opposite coast in Boston, Massachusetts. The Celtics edged the Oklahoma City Thunder 100-99 on a last-second three-point shot by Markieff Morris. Now, he's got some sibling ties with a player right here in Washington.
With the Washington Wizards. Yeah, a very good win for Boston, especially with Kyrie Irving sitting out this game. And again, Boston also, the whole of this month, they have actually played the, a lot of games with several of their key players sidelined by injury. And they're also, you could say also, they're also, you know, satisfied with the number two seed. They're not, they don't look like they're playing to get the number one seed where Toronto is right now. So, you know, because at the moment, you look at who are you going to face in the first round of the playoffs. So if that team fits you better, the matchup is good. You don't mind having a number two seed. And this is also happening with Boston. They are resting their players. By the time Kyrie Irving comes back, the playoffs is on, and, you know, they are ready to go.
You mentioned Toronto, Momoyo. They also won their game on Tuesday night. They beat the Orlando Magic 93-86. In Orlando, Florida. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for Toronto's Nigerian team president, Masai Ujiri. He's doing a great job, isn't he, with the Raptors?
And I would also put Mbabute for the Portland Trail Blazers from Cameroon.
Okay.
He played a very good game last night.
Excellent. So the African connection.
The African connection is working well.
One story making headlines this week in the NBA, Momoyo, involves the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I know we talk about LeBron James all the time when we talk about the Cavs. But this time it had to do with their coach, Tyronn Lue, who has taken a leave of absence for health reasons. He talked about having pains in his chest and trouble sleeping. Your reaction, Momoyo?
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about players when Kevin Love came out and said he's suffering from depression, and we talked about other players who have had, you know, these kind of problems. And we were saying that, you know, we look at these players as, you know, tough, athletic guys. They shouldn't be suffering these kind of things. But, you know, they are human beings, just like anyone else. But for coaches, it's even more serious. It's a very stressful job. I mean, for a player, you know, you just worry about, you know, stepping up and making those two free throws. The coach is worrying about the whole game. If a team wins a game, you know, the coach is the last person to be, you know, praised. But if a team loses the game, the coach is the first person to be blamed. And other coaches are coming out and saying, you know, something about that. Luke Walton, who is coaches
Lakers.
This is what he said. He was not surprised for Tyronn Lue to take a step back, because you don't get a lot of sleep, you travel a lot, and you're stressed all day long. All day long, you're thinking about this game. How am I going to win this game? And even if you win, soon after the game is over, you're worrying about the next game. So obviously these guys... And one thing you have to notice also, these are very young guys, 40 years old, you know, but they're in a very stressful situation.
It's almost like maybe being an African soccer coach, isn't it, Mamoya? You know your tenure will probably be short.
you coach 10 years, but you feel like you have been coaching for 40 years.
And one bright note with the Cavaliers, Mamoya, you mentioned Kevin Love. He came back this week to the lineup. He had been out, I think, at least 6 or 7 weeks with a broken hand. So the Cavaliers getting healthy ahead of the playoffs.
They're getting healthier, and these last three, four weeks before the playoffs, you know, will set them up and really give them a good feel of how are they going to perform when they get to their playoffs.
And let me quickly run down a few more results from Tuesday night. The Atlanta Hawks beat the Utah Jazz 99-94. The Hawks snapped a 9-game Utah winning streak. The Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Los Angeles Clippers 123-109. That game was played in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A shout-out for Anthony Davis, the all-star player for the New Orleans Pelicans. He had 37 points on Tuesday night as the Pelicans beat the Dallas Mavericks 115-105. And one other result, Momoyo. The Detroit Pistons beat the Phoenix Suns 115-88. That game in Phoenix, Arizona. Blake Griffin starting to play very well for the Pistons. 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. I kind of forgot about Griffin there.
Well, he's a new home. It's a championship team. They have a championship history. So he's coming into himself and really feeling, you know, that he can contribute a lot. And he's healthy now.
And while we focus on the NBA, we got to kind of go down a level, Momoyo, to the U.S. Men's National Collegiate Athletic Association Tournament, March Madness.
March Madness.
We've reached the Sweet 16 stage here in the USA. And first off, the school you went to once played in this tournament, right?
It did. 1992, Howard University. That was the only time we got into the tournament, and we were so happy. We closed Georgia Avenue. Restaurants were giving free food and everything, and we got out the first round. So we've never been back.
Well, that's more than my alma mater. My alma mater, New Hampshire, never even got to the tournament. But, well, it's always upsets in this tournament, though, Momoyo. Who do you like so far? Any smaller schools that you're following in the Sweet 16?
Well, yeah, there were some smaller schools, but they're all already out. And it looks like Villanova is favored, and he's there still number one. So you have Villanova playing West Virginia in the Sweet 16. You have Kansas also number one playing number five Clemson. So, but you know, the beauty of the NCAA tournament is the surprises. Anything can happen. You may have a number. I mean, this just past week we saw UMBC beating Virginia.
University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Beating Virginia. Virginia was number one, and UMBC was number 16. For the first time in history, a number 16 seed has knocked out number one. So the surprises are what makes the NCAA, you know, fun to watch.
And speaking of fun to watch, I think it was just a couple of years ago, Villanova won the national title on a last-second three-point shot.
Yes, and you have a lot of those. You have a lot of buzzer beaters in the NCAA, and people, you know, they sit there, they're just watching for that last shot, whether it's going to win a game or not.
I'm looking at the brackets and the teams left in the Sweet 16, Momoyo, and I guess Texas. We talked about the Houston Rockets, but at the collegiate level, the Texas basketball fan has a lot to cheer for right now. We have Texas Tech and Texas A&M, both in the Sweet 16.
Both in the Sweet 16, so Texas is doing good. they have Houston, they have San Antonio, and San Antonio is doing well also in the NBA, going into the playoffs, and they have the college ball. Hey, you know, it's a big state, a lot of people, you know, passionate in sports, so we're not really surprised when Texas is doing well in any kind of tournament.
They wear those big 10-gallon hats,
10-gallon
right?
hats, and 12-pound stick.
Thank you, Momoyo. It's a big state. Momoyo Hamza, the chief of the Voice of America's Swahili service. And that wraps up the March 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On March 22nd, we observe World Water Day. It is an opportunity to shine a light on the importance of clean water and take action to counter water-related crises arising around the world. Without water, life is not possible, and yet around 2 billion people now live in areas of severe scarcity. Some 1.8 billion people depend on sources of drinking water that are contaminated with fecal waste, putting them at risk of contracting a number of deadly diseases such as cholera and dysentery. If current trends of consumption and pollution continue, by 2050 that number will increase to 3 billion people. While increased water waste treatment is needed, green infrastructure solutions based on nature can produce low-cost options for restoring water quality and quantity. Right now, unsustainable land and water usage practices are contributing to the problems of pollution and scarcity. As forested land is degraded and natural wetlands lost, drier areas become drier still and are rendered unsuitable for agriculture, while areas that are subject to heavy precipitation, such as monsoon rains, suffer more frequent and intense flooding. Soil erosion is also a problem. Every year, 25 to 40 billion tons of topsoil are carried off by erosion, significantly reducing the soil's ability to regulate and retain water, carbon, and nutrients. The runoff, containing large amounts of nitrogen and phosphorus, is also a major contributor to water pollution. These are some of the reasons why this year's World Water Day theme is Nature for Water, exploring how we can use nature to overcome the water challenges of the 21st century. This includes restoring forests, grasslands, and natural wetlands, reconnecting rivers to floodplains, creating buffers of vegetation along watercourses. All are examples of nature-based solutions that help maintain water availability and quality. We can protect soil from erosion by utilizing conservation agriculture and planting native trees and shrubs along water courses. We can help filter and purify wastewater and enhance biodiversity, protecting wetlands which naturally filter and hold water, and reducing areas of hard surfaces and turf will also decrease runoff and water pollution. When we degrade our ecosystems, we make it more difficult to provide our population with the water we need to survive and thrive. On this World Water Day, we explore how nature-based solutions may help to solve many of these challenges.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Rex Tillerson's first official visit to Africa was also his last. He was ousted as U.S. Secretary of State just hours after returning to Washington. U.S. President Donald Trump has tapped CIA Chief Mike Pompeo to replace Tillerson as America's top diplomat. Tillerson's trip to Africa focused largely on China's growing influence on the continent. An in-depth discussion on what his abrupt exit means for U.S.-Africa policy on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa news. Tune in on top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.